This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're diving deep into Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, Episode 17, titled Thunderclap, Part 2. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and here with me as always is my co-host and kin, the baby brother Brennan. What's going on today, Brennan?
Just chilling on a Sunday, nothing much. I just watched the episode again, the JJK episode, just because, I don't know, since it comes out Thursday, I usually watch it on Thursday just because it's that kind of show. You don't really want to wait. Then I want to make sure that I'm somewhat fresh whenever we talk about it, if I can. So I just watched it, so it should be pretty fresh.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't watch it as closely as I did the first time, but just to make sure I know all the events as they happen. And then still, I haven't really been watching any anime at all besides JJK. Just it's a busy time of year for me, but it's really all I've needed right now.
Nothing's going to add up to JJK right now anyways.
Yeah.
This shit's absolute fire. I mean, no question about it. But I think that there's one piece of news that Colton wanted us to talk about, and I think he's talking about the fact that they subtitled the domain expansion of Sukuna. They subtitled it to say Malevolent Kitchen instead of Malevolent Shrine.
Yeah,
did you notice
that?
The
thing is, I just watched it right now, and it changed it to Malevolent Shrine.
It says it again.
No, it said Malevolent Shrine. I just watched it the first two times.
But then the last time they say it.
Yeah, the last time. But originally, it was like Malevolent Kitchen, even like the big one, because I was like, that's kind of a weird name, but not a weird name. It just wasn't what you thought it was going to be.
I think it was apparently a typo in translating. But yeah, they didn't fix all of it. So I think that that's the news they wanted to say. I can't pull it up now, but
I didn't know if he was talking about like the MAPPA employees. Like, I guess I don't know how true it is. I mean, obviously they're overworked, but there's been like potential delays. Like, there could be delays on this season because of the working conditions. Is probably,
see,
I don't know if that's what he said, but that's maybe what he's referencing to.
Maybe. But even if that's true, that again, that implies that these episodes aren't, they're like, these episodes aren't done yet. Like, that means that they're, like, does that mean that, like, right now, as we're speaking, MAPPA is cranking out next week's episode? Because that's what I have to assume.
Yeah, typically that's how they animate any series. Like, you're working, I mean, people go ahead and work on certain parts. Like, someone who's working on this big fight scene, like, they've probably been working on it for a longer period of a project, but yeah, the total animation of the episode is, a lot of it's put together and completed the week of airing.
It's freaking crazy, man. That's stressful alone. Even if you have like a team of plenty of people to get the job done, just knowing like this project has to be done on, if it's releasing on a Thursday, it's got to be done probably latest Tuesday night. So they have one day to like watch through it, and it goes through some tracking.
I mean, they have, yeah, that's why they're overworked, because they probably need more people to help, or more, just more days. Because I know on, like, you know, the ongoing, like, the One Piece, or, like, Naruto, when it was airing, like, yeah, them shits, like, they're putting the, for the most part, they're just animating all that shit that week before it airs. But you think with these, like, 24-episode seasons that, or even 12, that they would kind of just try to get ahead, but it's because it's a,
yeah, at least
it's a job, you know, it's animation, so they're, if they can work on something else for the time being, they want their resources there. So I think that's kind of why it always ends up being like, we got to get this shit
out. Man, that's stressful. I can't believe that.
That's how like the mangakas are too. Like, they're always just throwing the shit together the week of. So maybe it's just kind of picked up from that too. Like, that's what the mangakas do. They write that shit and, you know, send it to an editor and all that, and then they release it for a week, and then they're on to the next chapter or whatever. So I don't know if they kind of, like, took influence from that, or if it's just, like I said, they're trying to animate some other shit in the meantime, so they ain't got time to get ahead on JJK.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet they did take it from that. It's probably just the difference in work culture. Like, that's the kind of motivation, I guess, that their culture needs to pump out great,
I mean,
great products.
They'd probably just do it just because the pride in their work, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an animator. I just hear about it. You just seem to hear about it a lot. You don't really. I mean, I know animators are in general underpaid in Japan.
I mean, just think,
nowadays,
think about the crazy. Like, it is crazy that we're over here in the U.S. and we hear rumors about how bad the work conditions are for a studio called MAPPA.
Yeah, like specifically for them. Like, there's tons of Japanese yes. animation studios, and like we know they're underpaid. Even the animators here in America, they're like work for Disney or Pixar or whatever. Like, that's why the strike was like partially like they're underpaid too. So we know it's a sign mm-hmm. of an underpaid industry, but you're still not hearing about like these these types of rumors out of those places. So I mean,
oh yeah, you know that there's
to it.
Rumors. There's got to be some truth. Like, these guys must just look absolutely terrible. I don't know, but yeah, their pride in their work probably is the reason why it keeps going, because they know that they've climbed so fast to the top of the studios, but look at what they've sacrificed. You know, people are literally dying.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't know much. I don't look too much into it. Most of what I'm getting from is just from like memes.
Yeah,
not even like
only meme
the
I keep seeing
news
is
article.
The only meme I keep seeing from this last week's episode was the one where Sukuna's doing the back handsprings over and over again up the walls. And it's like showing gymnasts doing the same thing, and like, this is Sukuna on this week's episode.
You haven't seen like the ones about the end of the episode? Some of the better ones I've seen was like, it was just like the ending scene. It was like in text, why didn't MAPPA play this song? And it was like the Itadori on the ground, and then it started playing Lost in Paradise instead of, or just why Itadori is having the most traumatic moment of his life, and then it's like me, and it's like that DJ Khaled dancing really quick with his feet meme with Specials playing.
Oh yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I was doing whenever he was like screaming and shit. They started playing Specials, and I was like rocking out to it.
Oh yeah, dude, yeah. Can you imagine how much the internet would have erupted if they did bust out Lost in Paradise whenever Itadori's on his knees? Like,
I mean, it would have been
the world would have erupted if they did that.
Yeah, at least Specials fits it, but it's still a banger, so that's why like everybody was still bumping it, but yeah, it still fit.
Uh-huh.
And then another one I saw of that, there's like a scene much like that in One Piece where Luffy's banging his fists on the ground crying, and it was like, if MAPPA animated One Piece, and then it was like Luffy doing that, and then it was like, come aboard and bring uh-huh. like they brought that song in.
I did see that one. I don't know how people are getting these like... how people are getting these videos of the episode, because like you can't do it anymore. Like Crunchyroll's got this shit locked
down.
So
there's always a way to do it. If you got like an external PC, like you can. There's ways to do it, I'm sure.
Man, I wish I could find out how, because I could be making some meme and some real gold, but I'm not as techie, I guess, as some of these hackers out there that are able to still do it.
I mean, it's probably not even that technical. It's just they know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, hit me up if you do know how. Let me know. If this is your first time ever tuning in, welcome to That Anime Podcast. Every week, we're going to be releasing an episode dedicated to each new episode from this season. So tell everyone you know that watches Jujutsu Kaisen. Follow along on our weekly podcast. If you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen. This helps us reach more casual anime fanatics just like yourself. So, Brennan, what did you think about this episode?
I really liked it, obviously. I don't know how you couldn't.
I thought you were about to say you didn't like it.
I was trying to like come up with just something besides it was good. Like, this shit was freaking good, obviously. But I guess to get into more detail, I just, again, appreciate how on surface level, like, this was mostly a fight. The whole episode was a fight, more or less. But there's still, because they're still giving us information, that there's still tons of like exposition and payoffs and like revelations for the viewer too, like before the fight started and then after too. So we still got mm-hmm. some stuff. It wasn't just a straight up, and it would have been okay if it was a straight up fight episode, like it just the fight started and ended, and that was the episode. Like, I can appreciate the animation, but I like that. And we'll talk about it, how we got that, you know, learn more about Megumi and his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like that, yeah, this... where you're still getting, like, the information that you crave because, you know, you're still following a storyline in these characters, but then you also, along with that, you just get a fight. And, like, obviously we didn't know the person he was fighting, but the,
mm-hmm.
the mere, just, like, the presence of them and their mystique still made it well worthwhile.
Yeah. This episode I really liked from the fighting alone. I like that this show is, the more you learn, the more you learn about how much you don't know. Like, we still don't know so much about the show. Like, and we talked about this in prior weeks, but we don't know where Yuji Itadori comes from. We don't know why he's strong. I mean, we don't know what Sukuna really is or what his plan is. We don't know
what, like, the brain curse is up to.
Yeah, we don't know what the brain curse is up to. If Geto is coming back, we don't know where Yuta is. Like, there's still so much we don't know why Jogo was saying that they are going to come back regardless of whether humans exist or not. We don't know how that's possible, because the way that that one lady described curses is they can only be born from humans, from non-sorcerers specifically. So there's just so much going on in this world, and then, like, the heavenly packs that people have, it's, I don't know how close the manga is to being over, but I hope it's not close, because, man, they could really go the distance with this anime. Like, there's so much to unpack.
I'm pretty sure it's a shorter, I mean, not a shorter manga or anime, but I don't think it's going to be like even a 300 episode, probably like under a 200 for sure, maybe just crack, you know, close to the hundreds, because I could just see by how fast everything happens. Episode of 24 this season, 24 in the first, another 24, and I feel like after that, if they do another 24 after that, I feel like it's just one of those shows that'll probably wrap up in like 12 or something.
Yeah, you could be right.
I mean, like, look at Attack on Titan doesn't have that many episodes, like, as a compilation together, and it's still one of the best stories told in anime. It's kind of better, more compact.
Yeah, that's one thing this show does do good, is no episode is wasted, really. Like, if you think about how much has happened this season, like, this is the same season where we get all the flashbacks of Gojo and, like, Suguru and Gojo, and that feels like so long ago. Like, so much has happened since then. Like, we've had the Mechamaru fight. We've had Gojo getting sealed. The Geto reveal. The fact that the Nanami fight with the sword hand guy. Chozo and Yuji Itadori. Ino and Megumi and Yuji fighting those freaking three old people.
Grasshopper
Toji coming
too.
Back. The Grasshopper.
Maymay.
Dagon. Yeah, Maymay, Wee-Wee. Like, there's so much stuff that has happened this season already. It's absolutely insane the amount of ground that they're covering in this story, because most seasons will, like think about Demon Slayer, for example, and how much happened in one of their seasons. Like, it's really just usually one fight.
It's
like there's
and
one
half,
fight
two,
that happens.
Two-ish fights.
Two-ish fights, and that's it. And Demon Slayer is great. No, don't get me wrong. I love Demon Slayer. But, like, when you compare it to this, this has just so much more of a mature feel to it, and the storytelling is so much deeper. It's also just much darker, I feel.
Yeah, I like how it's kind of all one. Right now, it's kind of all one storyline. Like, they're all doing their own thing, but they're all working towards the same. Like, they all know what their goal is. It's not like the case of, like, all these fights are so good and happening, because it's like the converging storyline thing, where it's like they're all on their own path and going to meet up. Like, they're all on the same path, just taking a different route.
Like, they go to the same school.
Fights. Yeah.
Yep, I love that too. It's like these are the curse users of Japan. Like, they kept it real small. So there was no episode synopsis whenever I took these notes, but the episode starts off with the flashback of Yuji at the hospital from episode one with his grandpa. Like, the show starts off like this, or at least
the
Japanese dub
too.
Does. It had to have been, because I don't remember that shot.
It just looked like this season, like, style. more so,
mm-hmm.
which is not a big deal. It's just, you know, a lot of times they'll reuse that. I just felt like it was, you know, new animation. Not that it was anything impressive, yeah. just him at a window, but just what I noted.
Yep. So it starts off with Yuji's grandpa, and we don't see his grandpa, but he says, "Yuji, you're a strong kid, so help others." And then it's just Yuji's face, and then it makes this freaking awesome transition over to Sukuna standing in the aftermath of him burning up Jogo. Awesome transition. I bet that that was straight from the manga, too, but man, you gotta appreciate when they pull off stuff like that, because it's not easy. They're taking like a great manga, yes, and like great panels and pictures, but they're breathing life into this shit and like making the viewing, in my opinion, one of the best animes I've ever watched. Like this episode was freaking
incredible. Yeah, it's just the small things. Like they keep, it's what we're going to talk about like right next, but they've done this in several episodes where it's like they end the episode with the scene and then the next episode starts and it's like the pre to that scene. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you like get there, you're like, okay, that's how it got there last week. And it's just like kind of a cool way to reintroduce you to what was happening, but also give you more. And then it also just gives the viewer like, oh shit, like that's where it ended last time.
Like, yeah.
They don't have to be doing that, but it's just keeps the viewer interested the whole way because you're not seeing the same thing right away.
Yep.
Or getting just like the
recap. I feel
the
same. I know, I hate recaps. Like, just show the damn thing happen again for me is fine. We don't need the last time on Dragon Ball Z. So we go over to Megumi, and he's limping away from the sword hand guy.
So, There's a trail of blood following him.
Now
I'm thinking from last week he got up off the wall and was running. And then I'm like, where the mm-hmm. fuck was that big guy that was chasing him? It's like immediately what I'm thinking.
Yep, that's what I was thinking too. And Colton spoiled this for us last week, but it didn't end up mattering. But still, it's like, Colton, come on, kid.
Because he said if you see some spoilers on YouTube, just watch this anyways.
I know. Yeah, everybody listening, you're welcome. I cut out some spoilers that Colton dropped about this Shikigami Makura. So you're welcome. But he Colton totally spoiled this for me and Vernon last week. But Megumi's he's limping away and he says, he's explaining his technique, Ten Shadows technique. He says, in my Ten Shadows technique, only two demon dogs are granted to the user at first. The other Shikigami aren't granted to the user until they finish subjugating, which I had to look up just to make sure I knew what this word was. It means to bring under control, to bring under domination or control, especially by conquest.
Yeah, just basically tame him like a wild horse, you know, a bucking mm-hmm. bronco, just getting it under
control.
You gotta
control.
Break him.
Yep. And the only way to subjugate him is to beat him in a...
Beat the shit out of
in
him.
In a battle. Yeah. Beat him within an inch of their life.
What happened
then
with
you
the
hold out their hand.
Like, he had to fight all the rabbits or just like one or two.
I know, and I wonder, like, I don't think you're allowed to use your other Shikigami in a in a subjugation battle.
I was assuming not, but...
Yeah, so he continues, the user must continue subjugating each one to increase the Shikigami available to them until they're able to command all 10 Shikigami. So here's my question for you. Does this mean only 10 Shikigami exist, and everybody that uses the 10 Shikigami technique only can max out with those same exact 10 Shikigami?
Well, I think it's more of a thing where only one person is like his ability from that clan has that 10 Shikigami ability. So I think like the other Shikigami, like the other people that use that, or they're just like weaker, or they got them through another source, but it's not these same 10. So nobody else, from what I'm thinking, nobody else can summon any of the demon dogs or the frog or Magara like Fushiguro until he dies. And somebody in the Zenin line will be reborn, mm-hmm. kind of like Gojo.
Yeah.
Though there are the Shikigamis, kind of, but they're like, they're takedown Shikigamis, like B. They're not the A Shikigamis.
Got it. So this confirms that Megumi does have the Zenin trait.
Yeah, if he's got the special trait.
Yeah, this is the one Naobito said he'd pay triple for or whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's 100% the trait, like, confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Gojo, the little cutback with Gojo, confirmed.
Yeah, that confirmed it too. So all of a sudden, like, whenever Megumi started, the first time I watched this, I had no freaking idea what he was talking about. Like, I was reading the words, but I'm like, what the heck's he talking about? Subjugating? And then he continues. He says, he falls on his face now. He says, thing is, this subjugation can be done with multiple people, though conducting the subjugation with multiple people voids it afterward, which means the ritual becomes pointless to the sorcerer themselves. Still, even if it's pointless, there are ways to use it. Then the explosion in the background from Sukuna and Jogo fighting happens. The sword guy turns around and looks. He's like, what's that? And then he can sense that Megumi's up to something, so he turns back around. Now Megumi's on all fours, or he's like on his knees, making hand signs. And he says, to continue, while the Shikigami can't be used without first subjugating it, the user can summon them as many times as necessary for the purpose of subjugating them. Everything around them turns black and white, which is freaking legit for a second. And then he says, in all of sorcerer history, there's never been anyone who managed to subjugate this one. And now we get the flashback to Gojo and Megumi. So nobody's subjugated this Shikigami named Makara.
Nope.
So does that mean he only has 9 Shikigami of his 10 Shikigami technique subjugated?
I don't think he even has the... I don't know if he even has the 9, but it's just like you can subjugate him as much as you can. So it's kind of just like, well, shit, I'm going to skip ahead to the best one if I'm going to die anyways.
Because
I guess this is like the fourth or fifth time that he's like said the, like, whatever the words are that he says about the ring.
Yeah, sacred treasure.
Yeah, the sacred treasure. I guess he's pulls this out at any inconvenience in a fight. I've always said, like, on all the episodes, like, there's something where he, like, can give up his life force, you know, to win. Yep. I just didn't know it was like he literally has to, he's just going to get killed by someone else, but they'll kill the person there too.
Yeah.
Not really what I had in mind, but yeah.
It is the ultimate last stand, though. Like, listen, I may not be able to beat you, but I sure as hell ain't going to lose to you. I'm taking your ass with me. So we get this flashback to Gojo and Megumi. So Gojo says, do you know why the Gojo clan and Zenin clan are on bad terms? Since the Edo area? Or the Kaicho era? I forgot when, but the heads of the clans at the time got serious during a spectated match, and they both died. Megumi says, were the heads of those clans, and Gojo continues, one was someone who possessed both the six eyes and the limitless technique, and the other was the same technique as you, Megumi. And then Megumi says the 10 shadows technique. Gojo leans forward, gets really serious, looks at him with his eyes through his glasses, and says, understand what I'm getting at? Freaking, that part gave me chills. I was like, oh, shit. So what we're about to see here with Megumi is some, like, real deal, like, can beat Gojo stuff. What was going through your head at this point whenever you found out how powerful, I guess I should say, how much potential Megumi has with his technique?
I mean, that's basically it. I was just, you know, Gojo said it himself, you get what I'm saying, like, so we're just like, shit, he's basically on that level eventually, or could be, but it's almost, I mean, he says it too, he's not really on that level, he's just like, I guess as they
he's
call it.
He's got like
it,
a trump card.
The ultimate late rock, paper, scissors throw, he's got it on him at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of always puts him on, I don't know, it's not a level playing field. But I don't know, I feel like the other guy that he fought, the old Gojo clan, yeah, he had both, but I don't know if he mastered it like Gojo did. So I feel like he was the first one to, like, get to where he is, but still. So do I think Gojo would still win, like Sukuna did this? Probably so, but shit, I mean, I guess if you can actually fucking control it somehow, then you may be the most powerful.
Mm-hmm. If freaking Megumi can get to where he can control Makara and just bring him out,
just fight alongside it with the wolves.
Yeah, fight alongside it, dude. This guy's, I mean, do I think that is ever going to happen? No. But do I think he's clearly going to live and he's going to have the opportunity to do this again. And that Shikigami is going to probably have learned from the last time it fought Sukuna, and now it's going to adapt again.
I'm thinking that it's going to be even harder to contain, because whenever the Shikigami get killed, they get stronger. Like the wolves, uh-huh. The two wolves died and became like a two-headed wolf or something. So that's what uh-huh. I was wondering about. Does it also double in power?
Maybe.
Now that he's
maybe
been
this
destroyed.
Was a blessing in disguise.
But then it's just like, then yeah, for sure he's never going to subjugate it.
Mm-hmm. So we go back over to the fight. Megumi internally is thinking, that doesn't mean I can actually become a sorcerer capable of beating you. Talking about Gojo. I imagine the head of the clan used this in much the same way back then. He says, sacred treasure, swing and ring. Ring. Screen goes black. And we cut over to Sukuna. He senses the subjugation immediately. And he says to Uraume, his little servant with the red dots on his hair, it won't be much longer before I'm free. Do not slack on our preparations. See you later, Uraume. Uraume says, as you wish. I'll be awaiting your return. So Sukuna, he's got plans, man. He's saying it won't be much longer before I'm free. What do you think his plan is? Do you think that as viewers, we are supposed to have seen breadcrumbs, or do you think it's supposed to be like completely unbeknownst to us?
I have no clue. I mean, there could probably be some breadcrumbs. I don't think it's not supposed to be an obvious path in front of us for sure. Like, I'm sure some people that have like read the manga are like, yeah, it's there, but you also read it. But
yeah,
right now I would just think that it was always a plan to like have the fingers left around and then eventually take over a strong vessel. Or, I mean, I don't know what Megumi's role is. Like, can he become a Shikigami and like summon Sukuna or something? And Sukuna can kill him then, and then he's his own person. I don't know. Because it's like, why do you need him so bad?
I have a theory about this. So we'll just go ahead and talk about it since you brought that up. So my theory is the reason he needs Megumi is for exactly this. I think that he needs Megumi to kill Gojo, the user of the Six Eyes and Limitless technique, the same way the Gojo clan guy way back then got killed with this Ten Shadows subjugation technique bringing forth Makara. He needs Makara basically to kill Gojo and Megumi so that no one can challenge Sukuna. But then at the same time,
yeah, he ain't like that.
But it makes me think if Sukuna was able to beat Makara, then Gojo, I'm thinking, could easily beat Makara too.
He would just rather die. Like, he wants to kill Gojo, Sukuna. He doesn't want to just rule. Like, he wants to fight. Even if he did come back like and got killed by Gojo, I feel like he would rather do that than just like be the strongest.
Hmm.
Because he told Gojo many times he's going to kill him. Like, that'll be the first person he kills when he gets his body back.
Yeah, I don't know what he could need Megumi for, because he clearly saw something in Megumi, and it has to do with his technique. Like, why did you run back then?
Yeah, because it can't be like a long-term... He couldn't have been part of the plan, like the original 1,000 years ago plan.
Exactly.
Because even when he ran into him now, he was just like, oh yeah, you could be useful. But is that just like to test his powers, maybe? But I think it's going to have to be more than that. It'd be too simple if he was just like the original Itachi line, like, you can grow strong enough so I can like test my powers against you kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think that'll be it.
Either way, I'm starting to see why Megumi was like considered, you know, one of the main characters in the early stages of writing this, because he's clearly got the Zenin clan passed down technique for the top clan, so... It's no wonder that this thing's strong. But the subjugation ritual, it starts, and this shit is crazy. It's like panels of black circling around both him and the sword hand guy. We see the demon dog, some frogs, and then standing behind Megumi is some giant thing tied up like a mummy with strings holding it down. The sword hand guy is like, oh crap, he tricked me. He's starting that ritual, and he's forcing me to participate in the damn thing with him. Megumi says, 8-grip sword, divergent sila, divine general. And it's spelled Mahoraga, but they just say Makara.
Yeah, so they're probably just saying it like super fast Makara. Or something. And that's how it sounds to us, but yeah, that's how it sounds to me too.
Yeah, it's spelled Mohoraga, but they say Makara. So that's what I'm going to say because that's the right way to say it. So Makara, he says, see you later. Yeah. And then internally says, sorry, Itadori. Because he, you know, tells Itadori not to get killed or he'll kill him. And here he is, offing himself. And then he yells, oi, you damn bastard. And then he smiles, I'll be dying first. And then he says, give it your best. Which was probably one of the coolest lines Megumi will ever say. I'll be dying first. Give it your best. And then he gets swatted. Freaking awesome. And I knew he wasn't going to die, but...
Yeah.
That was highlight of the episode for me when he says that.
As soon as Sukuna was like urgent business, I was like, yeah, he's saving his ass.
Yep. So the sword hand guy is like, mate, 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 mate. And then he's like, oh, fuck you. Damn it. Wake up, you shitty sorcerer. And screen goes black.
We thought I got
just
squashed.
Before he gets hit.
Like a fly.
Yeah, we did.
What we were led to believe.
I know. So the narrator comes in a couple times this episode. This is the first time. So the technique of the curse user, Haruto Shigemo, which is the sword hand guy, erases life's little daily miracles from his memory and stores them up. That stalk manifests as the markings under his eyes, and when he's faced with a threat to his life, one miracle is released. However, he is unaware of this face himself. So this sword hand guy doesn't even know that that's his technique.
Nah, he don't know shit. He's dumb.
But I'm so proud of myself for figuring that out through watching. That's why I feel like this show does leave breadcrumbs with everything, and maybe you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's stuff there, and I mean, we'll see it. Like, as far as the Sukuna thing goes, I just don't think it's blatantly put out in there where everybody's supposed to have picked it up by now.
So Sukuna shows up, saves Sword Hand. I'm not even going to call him Shigemo, because he's just Sword Hand. And we get a good look at Makara. So he has four wings on his head. These things never have eyes, the special grades, except for Jogo. He's really the only one. And Dagon.
I mean, he's not a curse. He ain't a curse, though.
Yeah, that's true. He kind of looks like the special grade curses because the teeth.
Like the Sukuna finger curses. Like that kind
and
of
the
all
brain.
Like the same. Yeah. I know what
the
you
teeth
mean.
The teeth thing. So it's got four wings on its head. It also kind of reminded me of the angel from Digimon. What's that thing's name?
Angelmon?
Angelmon when he's evolved?
Yeah, just Angelmon is his name.
Yeah, when he turns into like the humanoid form.
Yeah, that's
the wings
his name.
On like the helmet kind of
Patamon
reminded
is,
me of that.
Patamon goes straight to Angelmon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, he kind of does. It has a little bit, except it just didn't have that human face. I thought it looked like from Final Fantasy X, you probably don't remember, but Seymour Guado, his first summon is like this thing called Anima, and it like comes down wrapped up like that, and it's like like a thing wrapped up, and it has like, instead of strings, chains holding it, and it's like wrapped up, and it's like a head kind of like this. So I wonder if it's maybe taken from the same-ish Japanese mythology or something. I'd have to look it up.
Maybe.
Anyone who's played Final Fantasy X may probably know what I'm talking about on that summon.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Reminiscent of Makara.
He also has like this boat wheel. What are those things called? Like that steer boats?
The not the oar. I don't know.
I know. I keep wanting to say oar too. Anyways, he's got one of those floating on his head. Yeah, at the helm, but there's a name for it. Either way. That thing's important. We've come to find out later. He has like a certain serpent-like tail coming out of his head. Wears pants. Kind of the same as Aoi Todo's, like that style. And he's got huge traps, huge neck, no eyes, just teeth. So he's...
Slim waist, though. He's got a classic physique.
He's got the V-taper,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, like wide shoulders, big chest, big back, 30-inch waist to go with it, though.
Yeah. And the more this thing fought, the bigger it kept getting. Like, it started off just like, you know, human size, and then it kept getting bigger and bigger and giant.
I thought he always, came out about 7-foot-ish, like freakishly tall height from the get-go. But yeah, depending on the angle, he would be like a monster.
No, at the end, he was straight up. Did you see how big he was when he was going to grab Sukuna before he did the domain expansion?
Yeah, that's true. He was straight up.
He was
freaking Godzilla.
He was straight up like, yeah, Godzilla size. He was huge. Sukuna looks at Megumi, and he says, "Suspended animation, huh? I see. So saving this piece of trash really was the right move. He probably sucked this thing into the subjugation ritual along with him. Once this trash dies too, the ritual will be complete. Then Fushiguro's death will be established as well." He says, "Don't die on me. There are things I need you to do for me." So, taking what Sukuna just said, Megumi is in suspended animation, which we have to assume means he is dead right there. But because they're in a ritual, it's not finalized until the ritual is dead, is
like
complete.
As soon as, if he would have crushed fucking sword hand dead over Maharag is gone. Like, basically, if he doesn't get there in time, like, is over. Like, the ritual would be over that quick, which is crazy to think about. But, I mean, I guess it's a quick death when you're overpowered. But, yeah.
Yeah. Freaking crazy. And then he says, "There are things I need you to do for me." And, yeah, you gotta... What is it that he needs Megumi to do? He's gotta be calling somebody forth from the Shikigami realm. Like, I'm so intrigued at this. Like, what was it that you saw that day in Megumi that you were like, ooh, change of plans? I don't know. Strange. Sword Hand guy's like, and Sukuna says, "Silence. For Megumi Fushiguro to survive, I'll have to defeat this Shikigami as an outsider and nullify his subjugation ritual. Time for a tasting, then." And yeah. My theory is that he wanted to use Megumi to kill Gojo, but you're kind of right. There's no way, because if Gojo could for sure beat this Makara, especially since we've seen Sukuna beat it.
I don't get the feeling that Sukuna just wants to like live to rule. Like he's wanting to fight. Like he wouldn't want to just back down from a fight. He's got sane blood and pride.
He does. So Makara is the one that throws the first punch. He comes down with a blade out of his arm, and Sukuna blocks it with his forearm. They both go flying. Sukuna comes out of a building at one point with popcorn and soda, and he eats the popcorn. He's like, "Tastes awful." But then he also mentions that sword. It's the sword of extermination, specialized in combating cursed spirits. It's packed with the same positive energy generated by a reversed curse technique. If I was a cursed spirit, that would have eliminated me on the first blow.
Which is OP as fuck. Like, if you ever... Basically, Fushiguro can kill any special grade, like, instantaneously.
Oh, yeah.
If he ever gains full control of this thing. And that's why no one has. But, like, you can just, like, vanquish... You could almost damn near clear the world of fucking cursed spirits in a way.
Curses. Yeah. If you could pull everybody, like, everybody in... I guess you don't even have to pull them into the subjugation. If you can subjugate this guy, Makara...
Yeah. But then again, you'll
never lose.
Yeah, Gojo could exterminate the world too. They just don't always expose themselves, you know, to be seen by sorcerers. So that'd be the only problem. But yeah, any special grade is just shit's easy money.
Mm-hmm. So there's this part where, Sukuna is basically using his slicing and severing the whole fight. Makara, he's using the sword of extermination. He has like this giant breath blast that he uses, and then just brute strength, he throws shit. So following through the whole fight's just gonna be unnecessary. It was a crazy fight. There's a part where Makara goes on a flurry of punches, Toji style,
fucking cars. The only thing I want to say about the fight is, and it just goes to show the hard work, like I've seen, like obviously, like we watch anime, like we've seen fights where people go through buildings and or mountains and there's lots of destructions. I've never seen so much just like destruction of an area and different buildings, like detailed. Like it was showing like every building crumble, them going like just the scale of the whole area. They were effing up. Usually you get like one or two scenes of somebody flying through like a building or two, but it was just like constant. They were just destroying fucking downtown Tokyo. And at one point, even took down a fucking plane, a Boeing.
Yeah,
727 came flying down too. So I just had never
seen. That's when you know it's bad.
something animated like that, like in the concrete jungle, where they just the full-on destruction was shown. And honestly, the circle at the end that got flattened, like I thought it was going to be bigger than that. I was like sitting there watching. I was like, damn, like Tokyo's just gone, like the whole fucking downtown.
I know. You would have thought by how much they were moving around. Yeah, there's a couple parts in the fight that we have to talk about. So Sukuna, not only is he strong as hell, he also fights and he's thinking while he's fighting. So he, through fighting this thing, there's a point where he notices, and we notice as viewers, I didn't the first time I watched, but I did the second. There's a part where Makara, he keeps getting cut, and then he gets sliced in the head, and then his head's sliding off, but he pushes it back up. And then the screen goes black, and we hear what sounds like a vault door opening. And actually, it was his little wheel spinning to a new thing, where he's adapting, is what he's doing. And Sukuna says, oh, you did something, didn't you? They continue flying through buildings, blah, blah, blah. Makara, he keeps getting sliced, but he keeps healing. And then Sukuna says, now that felt odd. And Makara gets the sword of the extermination. He hits Sukuna in the neck with it, but his neck mouth catches it and breaks it. Very convenient. So now this freaking sword's gone. Probably not forever, though. I'm sure it'll be back if you ever subjugate him for a ritual again. Makara, there's a part where Makara stands up and he's like bubbling from the mouth, and its little halo shifts again, and Sukuna notices and he says, again? And this is where I noted the animation gets really wild during the fight. They start fighting in the air. Yeah, cars are flying, planes are burning and crashing into the ground. There's a point in the fight where Makara starts getting the upper hand, and he lands a hit on Sukuna's face, and Sukuna's like, you've done it now. And he sends out a bunch of severs and slices, and Makara hides behind a train car, gets in close again, and swings and hits Sukuna with the train. And this shocks Sukuna, because he's like, what the hell? Why am I getting hit now? And then Makara throws that train into the building. So Sukuna, as he's flying in this train, he's like starts severing and slicing everything around him, and he's laughing like crazy. And he says, you can see it. You see my technique. And I noted that this part was freaking, like the way that they animated showing his severing and slicing, like if we were Makara and seeing it, was freaking cool. Like, I would have never thought to show it like that, and like little black stars and like how they moved across the screen. That was freaking awesome. Sukuna says, I knew it. You're similar to Yamata no Orochi. You follow my slices and attack with cursed energy. Both started happening after that great wheel revolved. The incantation of sacred treasures and that great wheel both represent perfect cycles and harmony, which suggests that this Shikigami's ability is to adapt to anything and everything. It's the ultimate late throw rock, paper, scissors. You might have defeated me in the state I was in back then. He starts laughing. Now you've fascinated me, Megumi Fushiguro. Domain expansion, and the correct translation is malevolent shrine. But yeah, the first time I watched it too, it said malevolent kitchen, and I was like, ah, I guess that makes sense because he's cutting people up. There's probably knives everywhere.
That's why I was like, it just didn't seem like it fit, but I was like, yeah, if he's about to be in there, like, cooking up, you know, some bodies or something,
yeah,
then it wouldn't be the weirdest thing.
I really thought that it fit because he slices. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. He's got freaking knives everywhere. He's sending out cuts, cutting people up. So it is, though, malevolent shrine. But yeah, there was one other time where they said malevolent kitchen, and it's hilarious. But the narrator comes in for the second time this episode, and it's a lot, so hunker down here. But it's all important. Sukuna's domain, Malevolent Shrine, is unlike others in that it doesn't cut out a separate space with a barrier. Manifesting an innate domain without sealing it in a barrier is like trying to paint a picture in the air without a canvas. It's truly a divine feat. To top it off, by adding a pact to allow its victims a path to escape, it vastly increases the range of its guaranteed hit effect to a maximum of 200 meter radius. Though out of consideration for its effect on Megumi Fushiguro, he has currently restrained the effect to 140 meter radius, limited to the surface. Sukuna slices are comprised of two types. Cleave attacks things with cursed energy in the range of his guaranteed hit effect. Dismantle attacks things without cursed energy. Both rain down endlessly upon everything until Malevolent Kitchen disappears. The only sure way to defeat Magara is to bury it with the first use of an attack before it can adapt. Cleave would have fulfilled those conditions, but that wouldn't necessarily hold true if it adapted to the slices in general, rather than dismantle. Makara was close to finishing its regeneration. And then Sukuna, you know, he's about to light the place up. He pulls out the freaking flaming arrow and he says, Fuga. This is the same shit he killed Jogo with. So it's making me think, like, this is his ultimate move.
Yeah, I'm domain trying to think, expansion. Like, I wonder why it's like fire all of a sudden, like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it's cool he's able to use this ultimate move within his domain, Malevolent Shrine. So he hits him. The whole place is exploding. There's like, it looks like freaking Kurama, like the Nine Tails flying through the air. Like there's beams of like flames going all over the place. And then after the explosion fades and the smoke clears, we see Itadori's face of shock. And this was a confusing point in the episode because even watching it a second time, I'm like, is this saying that that Itadori was watching at this point, or was that actually Sukuna and he was just shocked at like the fight that he just had?
Yeah, he didn't have the face markings. He just had like the eye ones. I thought it was either just a pre-flash forward, because we'd seen that in the beginning of the episode too, or it was just showing like his inner self, Itadori within his own body, like finally coming conscious and seeing what was happening, and that's why he kind of started fighting back for his body.
Okay.
I don't know, that seems like the most plausible thing. Like at that moment, he kind of like regained consciousness and was like, I gotta get my body back, because then shortly after he did.
Yep. That's probably the best explanation, because now after you mention that, yeah, that makes sense. He was like regaining consciousness inside and able to see. Makes sense. So the wheel from Makara falls to the ground and dissolves. And yeah, you got to think, this guy, even though he lost this fight, if he fights Sukuna again, how's he going to win? Because now he's going to be adapted to the fire and the slicing and the severing. Like, how do you beat him next time?
You can't get pulled into that ritual, one, until you have a way to win. Just gotta stay away from Fushiguro for a while.
Shoot.
You know, just, as long as you don't fuck with him, he ain't got a reason to kill himself, you know?
Yeah,
that's the only way he's gonna use it, is if he's got a kid. He's backed into a corner, so just keep him safe and you're good.
Uh-huh. So Sukuna says to the sword hand guy, what are you looking at? Be gone. Sword hand guy smiles. He's like, excuse me then. I really am lucky. For another day, I survived. And then he slices in half. Narrator
comes in. I feel like
it's just
because he was like annoying. Like he should have just like walked away like a regular person. He probably would have killed
him
anyways.
Sure.
But I feel like for sure him being like, don't mind if I do. He was like, all right, I'm killing this guy.
I 100% choose to believe that he was going to let him go. And then when he heard how annoying he was, he was like, ah, I'm killing this dude. Screw that.
Dude, that's like some inner thought shit. Like, he's going to say that shit out loud.
I know. Just like, why, man? But yeah, this guy dies. The narrator says, Shigemo's stock of miracles had been exhausted in his battle with Kento Nanami. So Sukuna says, oh, it's nearly time. As he notices his hands are like twitching. And first thing he does, he drops Megumi by the principal and Airi. Principal's like, was that Itadori? No, that was Sukuna.
I'm like, how shitty are they as sorcerers? They didn't know that this shit was going, they didn't feel any of that.
Yeah, I know.
Like what?
Maybe because
they
the subjugation.
They didn't hear the thunderclap. I mean, just as weird that they wouldn't have at least felt him fighting Jogo. Like, I just feel like they've been chilling there just like with all this big, like, obviously, cursed energy is something that you can feel. Like, other curse users know when people are around. You can feel when people are letting loose power. Like, it's one of those anime where you can feel other people's presence from it. It's like they have no fucking clue. Like, Like, they should have known that Fushiguro was there and then, like, felt his shit dwindling. Like, Fushiguro knew that she was there. Iru was there to heal him. It just kind of felt weird that they were like, whoa, the fuck?
Well, who's maybe that? I think that what it is the subjugation ritual, I think it only pulls in and is only noticed to the people involved. And somehow, Sukuna was able to go inside and fight in it as an outsider. And so I don't think that the principal could feel any of that stuff because
but he should have been able to feel Sukuna
within the ritual.
At least fighting Jogo. I don't know. I feel like if he just walked in, like anybody could have technically walked in. They just weren't part of the ritual. So I don't think, like, Magara wouldn't have killed Sukuna if he didn't, like, try to just start fighting him.
True.
Is what I think, but I don't know. But you could be right. That would at least be somewhat of an explanation for them not to be like, was that fucking Sukuna that just dropped off Fushiguro?
Yeah. But at least we know Megumi's going to live. Iri's going to reverse curse technique him. And yeah, another failed attempt at subjugating Makara. And you got to wonder too, do you think this is the first time that Fushiguro's used this subjugation ritual with Makara?
Yeah.
Okay, so if so, my question is, who taught him how to use his technique?
You just know, like, you just that's your cursed spirit technique. You just know. Intuition, instinct.
He just like, it's just born I mean, with knowing how it works, and that this like Makara Gojo, guy, like, don't mess with him.
Yeah, Gojo was just born with the six eyes and learned how to use it. Like, nobody alive had to be able to teach him. He just discovered, I mean, like a simpler version, like Itadori, he just started using cursed spirit, and then he had like the double punch, the delay,
mm-hmm.
or Toto with the clap. You know, he figured out the clap, and he like
boogie
nobody,
woogie.
Yeah, no one taught him how to use boogie woogie. He just like, you know, used it himself. So I think it's kind of that.
He's got
like,
the greatest name.
He could probably see at the end of the line, like once he unlocked his cursed ability, like, oh shit, like this is the next one. Probably definitely helps to have some family scrolls and shit lying around. Have some info.
Yeah,
too,
just because there's got
to
be some way he learned about this Makara, or like maybe the demon dogs that are like the first Shikigami that everybody gets. Maybe they tell you, like, here's the history of the 10 shadows. We come for free, but everybody else, you got to beat their ass before they work for you. And this one guy, you're never gonna want to call him because you can't beat him. So just don't mess with him. But like, the fact that they can use this guy as like a safety net to make sure they don't lose to somebody, even if they, as long as they're willing to part with their lives, it's a pretty OP technique, especially if you have a way you can cheat death, because you can just get killed by this guy and then come back to life. Like, if Megumi had this sword hand guy's technique, he'd be unstoppable. Because then he could just get killed by this dude. The subjugation ritual ends.
I mean, yeah,
and whoever
sure.
he was fighting dies.
He's dead. He just come back.
He just come back to life. So, and I think about stuff like that because I'm like, why even have this freaking piece of shit guy with this like technique in? And like, I feel like maybe that's why they're like introducing these different techniques, because they might come into play later when, you know, the Shigaraki of... or the all for one of this world comes in, that's like trying to take everybody's techniques and merge them into one.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it could be. I just think that just one of those. I just think you thought of that. I don't think it'll be a thing where somebody's gathering multiple curse users potential.
The brain could.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's his whole plan.
But I don't know if he can gather multiple within Geto's body. I thought he just had his own, and then when he got in Geto's, he just like got his powers too, but that doesn't.
He does,
but that but means like, he can suck up Sword Hand and also get that ability.
Well, he's got so Geto had the ability to manipulate curses. So if he could manipulate a curse that has the ability to take people's techniques, then yes, he can.
Yeah, sure.
That's the whole thing. Is like,
but he's
you
dead
know
now.
That that's where this is going. Somehow it has to be like,
I hope
yeah,
not.
He's dead now, but. If the body, you know, like that Lady Ogami can bring back a body,
so
and with the body
just,
comes the technique.
He's just going one for all?
I mean, he could be going one for all. I mean,
it's not a bad plan if you can do it.
Yeah. So, but anyways, that's a little side tangent. But I just, you know, thinking about where is this show going? Like, there's still plot twists to be had, and like that could potentially be one. It's like, yeah, this brain guy is smart, but like, how is he going to beat someone like Sukuna? Because he can't seal Sukuna. He already sealed Gojo. Like, and Sukuna ain't gonna work with this dude. But anyways, Sukuna goes to basically the edge to show so that when Yuji comes back, he immediately sees the destruction. He says, "Hey, brat, be sure to savor this." Yuji comes back, and he sees what Sukuna had done all in his head. He, like, has flashes of all the people he killed. Mimiko, Nanako, Jogo.
All the people in the domain. Probably at least...
Yeah, all the people in the domain.
Couple hundred in there.
Yeah, at least. And immediately, he starts scraping his hands on the ground, which, God, that was... I don't like watching stuff like that. Anything to do with fingernails scraping. Eesh. He throws up, even. He's sick to his stomach. He's staring at the ground, and he says, "Die." And then Special starts playing, which was a great entrance for the song.
I was
and he
ready
says,
for
only
it.
Me.
I knew it.
Only me. Die. Right now. And yeah, this Special
they,
is playing here. Ooh.
As soon as the
ooh,
episode
was
going, and it fucking did the little intermediate commercial where it says JJK, you know, and starts again. That's when I was for sure. That's when I was like, "Yep, it's an opening at the ending type of episode."
Oh yeah, because they didn't play the opening this episode. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, because I said that as soon as that happened, I said that, and then as we were watching when it happened, Darby was like, "I think it feels like the last episode," and I was like, "No, it's supposed to be 24," but she went ahead and Googled it, and it because she didn't believe me, but it wasn't because you know they nice. Do that at the end of seasons a lot too, where they play the opening at the end. But I was like, sometimes nowadays in anime, they just do it when it's like an epic episode.
So I have to say, I think one of my biggest regrets in not life, but on this podcast of things I've said has got to be that when this song first played, after we switched from the other one for the opening, I thought that this song wasn't good. I just thought it was okay.
Yeah, but
and if I could
said...
go back in time and and just punch myself in the face, I would. Because this song, I cannot apologize enough to my past self. Or my past self cannot apologize to me in present enough for being wrong about this song. Because it is absolutely perfect for this show.
And that's what we said. You can go back and listen. I know I said, I'm pretty sure we're all kind of on the same page. Like, it's good. Not as good as the first one, but I think it's going to grow on us in that we've said for sure it looks like, and what we know about the Shibuya incident arc, that it's going to end up fitting really well with the arc. But I don't, I know what you mean. Like, we didn't think it was going to hit like this hard.
If I went back and listened to it, I'd be throwing up like Yuji. I'd be like, "What are you saying?" Like in the Interstellar. No, no, no. But yeah, when that freaking started playing the song, I was like, shit, this is a good episode, but it's not over yet. Yuji says, "I have to go. I have to fight. Otherwise, I'll just be a murderer." And we get the look, probably the most iconic look from the manga so far from Yuji. Kind of a peeping Tom look, like if you looked out your window at night and someone was like looking at you, that's the face they're making. Like, real fucking serious. Like, zoned in. But what did you make of this? Like, "I have to go, I have to fight, otherwise I'll just be a murderer." Do you think he's mad? Do you think he's steeled his resolve?
I mean,
do you think he's going to go off the deep end and ditch everybody? Like, where do you think he's going from here?
He's going to fucking save Gojo. Like, he's trying to save as many people as he can now, I think. He's resolved because he feels responsible because he let Sukuna get his... He lost that fight, let Sukuna take over his body, you know, let Megumi get that beat up that he had to do that. So he basically thinks all the dead people are on him. And I guess in a way,
kinda
it
is.
Because he let his body get given up So I think it's resolved. On the plus side,
he's alive and he's healed from all the wounds that Chozo inflicted on him, because he's whole again.
For sure, got stronger too. Just anytime you die and come back, you just automatically like doubled your powers. Doesn't. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Yuji's ever gonna get a domain, like, you know, like in Dragon Ball Z, like after Goku, and I hate to bring up Dragon Ball Z in a JJK podcast, but after he felt what it was like to be a Super Saiyan God, his body remembered it. I wonder if it's going to be kind of the same for Yuji. Is like
Sukuna's powers,
his body is experienced it, so he's had a taste for what it should feel like and like what speed does feel like to the body and what a domain expansion feels like. And so it's like going to accelerate his growth.
I don't know about a domain expansion, but for sure, like I said, I think he's stronger. I think if he runs into the dude that beat him,
Chozo,
I think he can beat him now. And I think he's just, I think he's going to be pissed too. You know, usually he has like a little bit of remorse when he has to kill like a curse user, a dark curse user, or even sometimes curses, but I think now he's just like...
This is the dark Yuji arc.
Yeah, this is the dark Yuji arc. Like, this is his vigilante era.
Damn, and Chozo's over there. He's probably going to be like trying to be boys with Yuji after those memories that never happened from their youth.
I mean, they are boys. We still
don't know what that's about either.
I mean, I've pretty much sold, if anybody listened to my theory that, or my kind of theory that I heard from someone else that I also believe in. Like, I think that's true.
So Brennan's theory, and it's okay for you to say this because it's just a theory. So your theory is that Yuji, because we don't know his parentage, and we know that cursed wombs can be seen. So your theory is that Yuji is potentially a cursed womb, and he doesn't know it, and that's why he had a connection with Chozo, and Chozo had that memory that never actually happened.
Yeah, like, he's the same as them. Like, he's half curse or whatever. Like, from that, we knew the name of the curse that was, like, impregnating women. Like, he's from that line somehow, is what I think. Mm-hmm. Or it's what this theory is.
Yeah, and then when we talked about it that one time, my only debunk to that theory is that the only other time fake memories flooded somebody's mind that didn't actually happen that involved Yuji Toto. Was with Aoi Todo.
The only reason I'm pretty sure it's true is because Colton said he agreed with it. So I was like, yeah, pretty much means that pretty much steals the deal there.
but why would that affect the memories of Aoi? Because Aoi's not
I mean, that could have just been
a cursed womb.
I mean, it could be something from I don't know. That could have just been an isolated incident for comedy.
No, because if you're writing this story and you're gonna, you know, later on you're gonna do that, you would purposefully not.
I mean, it could be
like
one
you're
of Itadori's
stuff like that on purpose.
It could be an impact from Itadori, but still, he's for sure like he was calling him brother in the dinner scene, the spaghetti scene.
Uh huh.
Not best friendo.
Yeah. True. I don't know. But either way, okay, let's get back. So we get the look from Yuji and enter the dark Yuji arc. And you think the episode's over, but it's not. So we go underground. We hear footsteps. It's our boy Nanami Kento. He is alive.
Harvey Dent.
And he's not a... Yeah, he's he's half burned. He's looking like Two-Face from Batman.
Yeah. I was thinking, literally like specifically Harvey Dent from The Dark Knight Rises.
Very specifically, exactly like Harvey Dent. I mean, they straight up animated
even
Harvey
like the
Dent
teeth, like
in this
the teeth,
scene.
Like the teeth showing through the burnt skin. I mean, it was a tight scene, though. That was probably my standout moment from the episode.
It was.
It's kind of badass.
It's badass, but the only thing I don't like about this is, like, when you show a character like this that's, like, that beat up, but that resolve to keep going, like, you know he's gonna... Like, now I'm, like, positive he's gonna die. Like, how do you come back from this? Like, he's definitely going to die, but he's, like, on a mission, like, I'm taking some bastards with me.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who's left that he can kill is his, like...
I think that his farewell. I don't think he's gonna kill anybody. I think he's gonna run into Mahito again, have his rematch, and just get bested quick.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering who, and I didn't think it'd be Mahito because I feel like Mahito makes it out of the incident for some reason, just because we lost so many of the disaster curses, and it would only be like the brain curse and Mahito, or if Mahito died, it'd only be, you know, the brain curse. So that's why I'm kind of starting to think Mahito makes it out just to have an even longer rivalry / beef. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this guy does because, yeah, I don't think he's making it to, like, Irie to, to get healed. I think he's just fighting Scarface edition.
Yeah, I hope he takes out somebody. But, yeah, he's the only people he could run into are Geto, Mahito, or Chozo. That's it.
Maybe he could make it to where Mei Mei is and help her. Could possibly be cool. I want to go back and watch the scene where he got blasted. I want to wonder if he was like able to like turn his body to the side or something. Or maybe, I bet they'll tell us next week, show it. Or maybe he used like some technique to like protect half his body. I can't remember if he got side shot because it looked like he just got fucking blasted. Across the map.
Yeah, he got freaking incinerated. Yeah.
They'll like, definitely give the recap. Dead as fuck, or did he take the... I feel like he wouldn't just get up and leave like Maki and Naobito unless they were dead. So I feel like he either got them somewhere safe. So I think we'll get that next episode, too. If we start with Nanami, we'll kind of see what happened to Naobito and Maki, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he definitely just didn't get up and was like, all right, I gotta go.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's...
But, like we said, he did kind of get blown away. Maybe he just it wasn't even in that same, like, part of the train station anymore.
Maybe. Maybe he's actually walking home. Maybe he's like, F this, I'm going home.
Back to 9-to-5.
Yeah. But next week episode is titled Right and Wrong. So it's definitely about Nanami because Ino, you know... mentioned whenever he doesn't know what to do, he asks himself what Nanami would do, because that's kind of his moral compass. So it's definitely going to be the farewell episode to Nanami. I'm calling it.
Yeah,
which
tough.
Sucks, but I'm glad that he didn't just die from Jogo blasting him out of nowhere. Like, at least he's going to get to go out fighting.
I think he'll have some famous last words for sure. Like, I think he'll give some quotes, give something for the anime fans to use in some TikToks, at least.
Yep.
Maybe not some Captain Irwin level type shit, but something, you know, more low key.
Well, and I did look that since Thursday next week is Thanksgiving, I was like, man, maybe they're not going to release one. We're going to have to wait 2 weeks for this, but we are not. They're still coming out with episode 18 next week, so we're gonna keep rolling week by week. Because that would have sucked. But any other thoughts from you on this episode, Vernon?
Not on this episode. Shit was good. Shameless plug. Suzume is now out on Crunchyroll. We have an episode on that from We Saw It in Theaters. So if you wanted to listen to that but couldn't because you didn't see it in theaters, now's your chance to watch it and go listen to that. It's a pretty good movie. We're big Shinkai fans here, so... I saw that whenever I was watching the JJK before, that it was like their new headliner. So for anybody that hasn't seen
it. Oh, yeah.
Just thought I'd mention
it. It's all over Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Yep. And our episode on that was actually really good. You got to take our word for it. Go see for yourself. So, but I don't have anything else. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
We are the Evans Bros, also known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And as always, peace out.